إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في الدين بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. عباد الله، اتقوا الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وكما ورد في سورة آل عمران: ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: العمرة إلى العمرة يكفر ما بينهما، والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. صدق الله وصدق رسوله. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Many millions of people from around the globe have just concluded their once in a lifetime religious duty and obligation toward Allah. Al-Hajj. As the ayah indicates, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Pilgrimage, thereto is due upon men, is an obligation upon men due to Allah, for those who can afford the journey, the fulfillment of this obligation. Pilgrimage is an event that requires the pilgrims to make tawaf around the Kaaba, sa'i between the two mounts of As-Safa and Al-Marwa, staying at Arafat and stoning the pillars representing the devil, among other rituals. These rituals, among others, trace their tradition to the days of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife Hajar, and their son Ismail alayhi salam ajma'in. There is definitely a rich history behind this last pillar of Islam, Al-Hajj. It all started when Ibrahim and Ismail, some 4,000 years ago, began reconstructing the Kaaba that was meant to be the first house of worship on earth, ever placed on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in Surah Al-Hajj, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. We showed Ibrahim the site of the house, saying, do not assign any partners to me. Purify my house for those who circle around it, those who stand to pray, and those who bow and prostrate themselves. Surah Al-Baqarah explains, once he was shown the place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And mentioned when Ibrahim, along with his son Ismail, were raising the house from its foundation, the Kaaba. There they supplicated, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, O our Lord, accept from us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, you are the one who hears our dua and sees everything and knows everything. رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O our Lord, make us of those who surrender to you, Muslimain, myself and my son Ismail. Make us of those who surrender to you, and also from our progeny, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. Make from our progeny an ummah, a Muslim ummah. Here we are, 4,000 years later. MashaAllah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. An ummah that surrenders and submits to you. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. And show us the rituals, the way, or the ways to worship you. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. Accept our repentance. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you are the acceptance of repentance. You are the most compassionate, the most merciful. We go back to Surah Al-Hajj. After he had constructed the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. And proclaim the pilgrimage among men. They will come to you on foot and mounted on every kind of camel, lean on account of journeys through deep and distant mountain highways. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And subhanAllah, 4,000 years later, you find millions and millions of people visit the very same house Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam once re-erected and purified, and once Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself purified it from all forms of shirk, starting with idol worshipping. And here we are today, go for pilgrimage, an annual event that celebrates the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these rituals have definitely a significant meaning. Tawaf, we go around the Kaaba, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the angels glorify Allah azza wa jalla around His arsh. The sa'i that we make between As-Safa and Al-Marwa is a remembrance of Hajar alayhi salam, going towards salvation with absolute resoluteness, steadfastness, and patience. What a great lesson to learn from Hajar. Never give up in spite of your dependence and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep moving towards salvation. And of course, you have Arafat, understanding on the Mount of Arafah, or the Plain of Arafah, which in essence is the spirit of Hajj. It is the essence of Hajj, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, Al-Hajj Arafah aw Arafah. فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ عَرَفَةَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الْحَجِّ. Hajj is Arafah or Arafah. Whoever stays there even before the rising of the sun, he had indeed fulfilled his Hajj. But subhanAllah, Arafat is the climax of Hajj pilgrimage. And what a great significance you find in standing in the plains of Arafat. Standing before your Lord in repentance, returning back to Him, acknowledging your sins and everything you have done, asking for forgiveness, renewing the covenant with Him, Azza wa Jal, the covenant that you have made with Him in the form of the Spirit before you came to this world. When Allah asked you, am I not your Lord? And you have responded, bala, yes, you are my Lord. This is the covenant that you renew with Him at that plane, at that place in Arafat. And you return here, hopefully fulfilling that covenant, remaining on that covenant. And of course, there's the Rami as part of the rituals or stoning the pillars that represent Shaitan. A sign and a significance of stoning those pillars is the rejection of the temptations of Shaitan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear to us. Shaitan is your clear enemy. Take him as an enemy. Do not befriend him. There you stone Satan and the whisperings of Satan. And of course, there's Halq al-Tafsir or Tafsir, and Halq represents really, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, one who performs Hajj and returns back without committing any rafat or fusuq, raja'a kama waladathu ummuh, he will return as the day he has been brought into this world. In other words, sinless, without any sins. So this halq is a representation of purifying yourself, is a physical representation of you becoming sinless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of our Hujjaj, Allahumma Ameen. And all these rituals are included with the ceremony of Eid al-Adha, which is a very important festival in our faith, focuses on Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his own son for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his son Ismail, on God's command. As a test of Abraham's faith, we are all tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the believers into a great trial, into a great test. And Abraham is our model in this test. Abraham fulfilled every test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a leader of mankind, Imam al-Nas. Now there are, of course, particularly for those who have gone to Hajj and have returned, as you know, there are certain arkan to Hajj and certain wajibat and sunan. So for those who have performed Hajj, must have been aware of what the arkan of Hajj are and the wajibat and the sunan. And those are very important. A rukun is something that is fard, that is compulsory. If you miss it, you have to repeat the whole entire Hajj. A wajib is something that if you miss, then you have to sacrifice them or some other kafara or fidya. And sunan, of course, if you leave them, there is no sin upon you. Among the arkan of Hajj, of course, is to begin in the state of ihram. And I'm sure all the pilgrims have begun their journey with the niyyah, solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proclaiming the Hajj for Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, of course, being present at Arafah, I'm sure all the Hujjaj who have gone to Arafat, have gone to Hajj, have stayed in Arafat, except those who were not able to make it because of a sickness or a disease, in which case they will have to make the Hajj some other time in the future. Tawaf al-Ifada is again a rukun min arkan al-Hajj, in which if you missed it, you have to repeat the whole entire Hajj. And of course, the sa'i between the Safa and al-Marwa. Among the wajibat, those are the acts that if they are missed, they are expiated for with the sacrifice of a sheep. If missed intentionally, a sin has been incurred, and one must repent as well as offer a sacrifice. because it is a wajib. And of course, among those wajibat is to enter the state of ihram from the miqat, staying in Arafat until sunset, remaining in Muzdalifah until at least midnight, spending the nights of Tashriq in Mina, and counting the jamarat in the proper order, cutting or shaving the hair. The farewell tawaf, tawaf al-wada', except for women during their menses. So I repeat and I say these things because of the pilgrims who have just gone for Hajj, they should check their rituals and make sure that whatever they performed was according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if they missed any of these, they need to do the proper kafara for that. If they missed any of the arkan, their Hajj is null and void. They would have to go back and repeat their Hajj. If they missed any of the wajibat, you can still expiate those that you missed while you are here. So these are the things that we need to consider when we return back from Hajj, and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our Hajj and supplicate. O Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna, just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and his son supplicated, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim. Our Lord, accept our deeds, accept our actions, innaka anta sami'ul alim. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam has supplicated among the other supplications I just shared with you from Surah Al-Baqarah, the supplication I just mentioned, and also the supplication to show him the rituals. There's one other supplication he made after that, a very significant supplication. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Our Lord sent to them a messenger from among them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, to recite upon them your ayat, your message, your signs. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and to teach them the book and the wisdom, and to purify them. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, indeed you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to Ibrahim exactly what he had asked of Allah Azza wa Jal, except in a different order. We find in Surah Al-Jum'ah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. And it is He who has sent from among them to them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, reciting His ayat unto them, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purify them. That was different than the order in which Ibrahim supplicated. The tazkiyah came at the end, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His preference was that which is a natural thing, that you first learn the ayat and then purify yourself from all these wicked ideas and thoughts. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and then learn the do's and don'ts, and understand the hikmah with the wisdom behind those do's and don'ts. So this is the order in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the dua and the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And as you know from our rich history, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did purify not only the minds and the mental state of the Arabs at that time, and non-Arabs for that matter, but also established a system established in the Arabian Peninsula, the just social order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he had hoped it would remain until doomsday. But what's happened today? What's happened 1400 years later? Wallahi, the things that I have seen on my recent trip, whether it is in Saudi Arabia, to a lesser or more degree, or in Jordan, or in Lebanon, where I went and visited my parents, it's amazing. It's shameful. It's very shameful. SubhanAllah. Where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from all these so-called believers and Muslims. What would Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam say if he were to be among us today and see what is happening in the so-called Muslim lands? It's frightening, my dear brothers and sisters. It is very frightening. You know what he will say? It dawned on me while I was preparing these notes for the sermon. And the hadith came to my mind. And I would not be surprised if he would remind us of what he had predicted 1400 years ago, what would happen to his ummah. And he would say, I told you so. Didn't I tell you that there will come a time when you are nothing but scum? Remember the hadith. يُوشِكُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصَعَتِهَا. Very soon the nations will overtake you and tear you apart. Just like the beasts gather and tear up their kill, their victim, their prey. And when one of the Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why would this happen to us at that time? Is it because we are small in numbers? He replied, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ كَثِيرٌ. On the other hand, you will be plenty in numbers. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءَ وَغُثَاءَ السَّيْلِ. But you will be like scum, the scum that floats on the surface of the river, on the surface of the water or the ocean. I think he would say, I told you so, because of the things that are so prevalent. What is happening is unimaginable. All the facade and the corruption that you have seen here in the West have already been exported and been promoted by our own people. In Jordan, just as I landed, and what's Jordan? A land part of this Arabian place where Islam was established for the sole purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's happening there? Right in the airport. Of course, you go to the airport, you will never know you were at Jordan or any other place. You would think you are in Europe. In one of the places where they are selling perfumes and colognes and what have you, there was this one sign, one advertisement, 212, whatever that is, some cologne for men, with a caption, with a line underneath. Do you know what private means? And I was wondering, what's this all about? And there you find pictures of homosexuals together, lesbians together. SubhanAllah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-'aliyyil 'azhim. And this is the land where the king himself is supposedly a descendant of, direct descendant of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or in Lebanon. SubhanAllah, what is the deen? What is Islam? There's only the rusumat of Islam. There's only the rituals. The spirit of Islam is gone. People don't anymore have any understanding or any notion of what real Islam is. Even the muhajjabat, subhanAllah. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عندما قال ووصف النساء في هذا الزمان. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the women of our time, كاسيات عاريات مميلات, they're dressed but they are naked, and they're swaying in their walkings, and wearing hijab. And wearing hijab, subhanAllah. Of course, not all the people are like that. There are still good people over there. But the situation is so sad and so miserable that I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what we need here in this land, in the land of supposedly kufr and unbelief, to support us so we can bring back the izzah and the honor of Islam to the land of Islam. Wallahi, we are living much better than most Muslims in those Muslim lands. And we should be very grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And particularly for those Hujjaj, the pilgrims, who have just returned from Hajj. I think they need more than anybody else to make a firm resolve with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live up to what they have gone there for, repentance, renewed their covenant with Allah, came back fully energized to focus on the deen, on the families, on the society, to bring justice to everyone. Inshallah ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه وصلى الله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: العمرة إلى العمرة يكفر ما بينهما، والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. أبي هريرة said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the عمرة, the next عمرة, is a كفارة, is an expiation to the sins that have occurred between the two of them. And an accepted Hajj, there can be no reward to it except paradise. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the Hajj of all those pilgrims who have just performed the pilgrimage. One thing we need to ask, what are the signs of an accepted Hajj? How can one know if his Hajj was accepted? Of course, there are hidden and prevalent signs, and among those signs, number one, you should feel that your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had accepted your Hajj. That should be an inner feeling within you. What you have done over there, inshallah, Allah will accept it of you. In other words, your intention when you went to perform the Hajj was solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not just to earn the title of a pilgrim or a Hajj. Your intention was solely to please your Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number two, to feel more pious upon your return, more conscious of your Lord upon your return through your thoughts and actions. Your attitude, you should notice a change in your attitude after you return from Hajj, an attitude of a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true abd of Allah, true slave of Allah. And those signs, of course, are those of repentance, istighfar, forgiveness, and things of that sort. Number three, that you have forgiven those who have wronged you in return for God's forgiveness of your sins, except for those who are oppressed, because God Himself does not accept the forgiveness or does not accept the repentance of those who oppress unless they give up oppression. Number four, that you increase your istighfar, kathratul istighfar. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you more every day. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And not just by saying, only by action, by not acting against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. And you will be asking for forgiveness from your Lord Allah Almighty. Number five, to do dhikr, to continue reciting the Quran. Among the best dhikr is to recite the Quran. Recite the Quran on a daily basis. Adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, particularly for those pilgrims who got used to those adhkar during the Hajj every day. They hear them day in and day out from the haram, from the group leaders, from the people, from their companions. Continue that, of God. Very important. That strengthens your relationship and brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what is required. Salah, increase your salah, your nawafil. Perform all your nawafil, and in addition to that, the tahajjud, perform the late night prayers. And of course, supplications, increase your supplications to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number six, stay away from lahu, lahu. This is a sign of a true believer. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ. Turn away from anything that benefits you nothing for your akhirah. A true believer, particularly a new pilgrim who has just returned, should focus on nothing but the akhirah, the hereafter. All the matters of the dunya, if you have the proper righteousness and piety, Allah will make a way out for you for all matters that pertain to this dunya. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever has taqwa, is conscious of his Lord, Allah will find a way out for him or her without any question if you only but believe in those ayat and messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to us in the Quran. So stay away from anything that is useless and be steadfast. Steadfast in all matters. In all matters that pertain to your faith. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, said, Al-Hajj al-Mabrur is to return abstinent from this world and desiring the hereafter. This is witnessed to in his saying, Allah Azza wa Jal, and those who are guided, he increases them in guidance and gives them their righteousness, taqwa, fearful awareness of Allah, care to avoid his displeasure. وَالَّذِينَ اَهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. Number 7, refrain from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all costs. Control your passions and desires while fighting your biggest enemy, Satan. He's your enemy. Strive to obey Allah and not allow a single sin be recorded by your left angel. Keep the angel on the right busy with all of your good deeds. Number 8, goodness toward people. In a hadith, it was said, O Messenger of Allah, which people are dearest to Allah? He said, dearest people to Allah are those who are the most useful to other people. The best of the people are those who benefit other people. So goodness to other people. Number 9, increase your Islamic knowledge. Make sure that you're always increasing your Islamic knowledge. You're advancing your knowledge about your faith and about your deen. And of course, finally, number 10, striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making da'wah, going out, preaching your faith, Islam, to others. Making da'wah starting with your own family. Don't forget your family. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. And of course, your family begins with your own immediate family and expands all the way to all the people on this planet Earth that are your brothers and sisters from Adam and Eve. These are the things that have come to mind in terms of the signs of an accepted Hajj. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj, of the present and the past. Allahumma taqabbal hajjana wa tawafana wa sa'ina wa jami'a saliha a'malina. Allahumma taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwab rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammad كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا او اخطانا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقه لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. آمين يا رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة يرحمني وأرحمك.